Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Philip said to Jesus, "Lord, show us the Father, and we will be satisfied." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still do not know me? Whoever has seen me sees the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. But if you do not, then believe me because of the works themselves. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the work that I do, and in fact will do greater works than these, because I'm going to the Father. I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If in my name you ask me for anything, I will do it. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, because he abides with you, and he will be in you." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. I'm not going to ask the children to come forward. Instead, I'm going to let you all sit there, and I'm going to tell you another story. This one is from Genesis, chapter 11. Now, the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they all have one language. And this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do now will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. Have you ever been in a place where you don't understand the language? That's how I felt when I first moved to California. I moved into a neighborhood that was largely Hispanic, and I came to California knowing perhaps three words of Spanish: taco, burrito, and adios. And so I couldn't speak to my neighbors. And they couldn't speak to me, or we could speak to each other, and we had no idea what was being said, and how I longed to hear English. I've taken some Spanish. I will admit that I don't remember much of it. I took it 2 years ago, and somehow I haven't had much of an opportunity to use it in South Dakota or here in Buffalo. But in the story from Genesis, we hear of the confusion of languages. And in our reading from Acts today, we hear something different. We hear, instead of confusion, we hear that God speaks in a way that everyone can understand through the apostles. And the difference in these two stories is that in the story of the Tower of Babel, the people wanted to make a name for themselves. And in our reading from Acts, God wants to make a name for God's self. So the difference between what mortals do for themselves and what God does are very, very different things. So this is a great day of Pentecost, the birth of the church. It's an important festival. It's one where you can see the tongues of flame that we have out, reminding us of what occurred on that day. Can you imagine what it must have been like for the apostles as they're gathered in one place? They're still terrified. They're still afraid that someone is going to do to them what it was done to Jesus. They're still afraid that they're going to die. And the day of Pentecost comes. And there's a sound like a great rushing wind. We know what that sound sounds like, don't we? We hear great rushing winds frequently here in Buffalo. But can you imagine if this whole building was filled with that sound of rushing wind? That whole the building starts to shake. That's one thing. But then to have what looked like tongues as a fire come down, what would that be like for you? And then to hear people upon whom those tongues of flame have alighted, speaking in languages that are not their languages. Because they're Galileans. They should be speaking their native tongue, and instead, they're speaking in languages that everyone present can hear. So here are the listing of countries. Because people from all over the world are gathered in this place to experience what is almost unimaginable, that they can hear in their own language the glory of God being proclaimed by the apostles. And some of them don't react the way that God might like them to react. They say, what is going on with these individuals? They must be drunk. They're not speaking the language that they should be speaking. How in the world can this be happening? It harkens back to a story of one of those famous women of the Bible, Hannah, who goes before God and prays and cries out. And the thought is, she must be drunk. It's like, no, this is what true praise sounds like, to be crying and pleading and begging. And this is what true praise was, that everyone could hear in his or her own language. This was an important festival. The Feast of Pentecost is called the Feast of Weeks in the Old Testament. It marked the end of the celebration of the spring harvest, a liturgical cycle that began at Passover, and during which devout Israelite families praised God for God's grace and mercy. So what an appropriate time for this to be occurring. It is a beginning rather than an ending. It is like birth, in a sense that something is left behind and yet something is created. Something is launched forward, which is only starting at this point. This is a time when the church moves forward into a new dimension of being. It is a time when the apostles put aside that fear once and for all and go out into the world, and the message is spread. Because filled with the Spirit, they can speak what is truth. Jesus promised that the Spirit that would be sent was the Spirit of truth. And what is truth? What is truth is never the right question. The right question is, who is truth? Because truth is Jesus. Jesus who said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And so what is proclaimed is the truth of Jesus. and the truth of the one who sent him. This means new life for the church, a life filled with the Spirit, a life of proclamation of the truth of the gospel message, a new life through God. And no one is excluded from hearing this message. Everyone hears in his or her own language. It is not a time of revelation such as was seen by only a few of the apostles when they went up on the mountain and saw the transfiguration. Instead, this is a time when everyone is able to see. They're able to see and to hear this message. And some respond positively and some do not. And that is always the option that exists. There is the hope, of course, that some of those who first reacted in such a negative way when they heard Peter's words were swayed and joined the church. Because you listen to Peter's words, you look at those words, and he's recalling what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit. When Joel spoke these words, this was a condemnation of the earth. When Peter speaks them, these are words that provide hope. The thought that we are not left orphaned, the thought that we have the Spirit with us, a Spirit that can provide us with the strength to speak the truth. Because we live in a world where speaking the truth is difficult. We live in a world where every day, it seems, we read messages of more mass shootings, people killing one another. And we ask, what is going on in our world today? We've been speaking a lot about love and how we need to be united in love for one another. This world sorely needs to hear that message of love, that message of truth. We are all filled with the Spirit. Can we speak those words to a world that so desperately needs to hear them? Can we speak those words of truth and love in our world today? That is a challenge. Amen. Let us join together in our hymn of the day. Come thou font of every blessing.